Good morning. How's everybody doing? Okay, so today I get the privilege of talking to you about aerial imagery. I work with the University of Arizona with Dr. Kurt Nolte, and for the past 2.5 years we've been using aerial imagery to assess crop health. So you get the benefit of seeing our good things that we've done and our not so good things that we've done. So first thing you need to know is, what is a UAV? It's an unmanned aerial vehicle, and this is an example. This is a DJI Phantom 2. There's a lot of different products out there. This is the one that we went with, and attached to it is the GoPro Hero camera. Right here is the Hero 3 Plus, and we also have the 4. And then the black thing on top of it, right there, it's not working, is the gimbal, which is just a camera stabilizer, which is very beneficial. So this is equipment that we've been using. We're using other platforms as well, but this is what we started off with. So this is what a stitched image would look like after you're done processing it and getting all the photos together. You can see, like, it's not perfect, but you can have the basic idea of what your field looks like. And it's very beneficial for the growers to be able to see what their field looks like without having to continuously walk the field all the time, or even depending on Google Maps, because that's not updated all the time. So we actually had some people call us and say, hey, we're having a problem with our melon fields, can you help us out? And they were very, very thankful for the information. So our first tip is, if you can at all possible, capture high quality images. So when you're looking at fields from a high distance, the resolution is beneficial. So to be able to see detail, to be able to see what's actually going on in the crop. So I don't know if you've seen some of the posters out here. Some of the posters are awesome, right? But if you look at some of the pictures, they look like the lamb on the right, which is kind of sad. It's digitally and you can't really see the focus of the picture. So that happens when you take a picture that has low resolution and you spread it real good. So our second tip is, when you're using a Hero 4 or a GoPro, which is what we were using, is to use video and photo mode. What you don't want to use is, you don't want to use a time-lapse mode, because it doesn't enable you to capture in a certain mode, which is the next thing, which is narrow field of view. So have you guys ever seen a picture that comes out of a GoPro? Does it look a little weird? Doesn't look normal, right? It has something called the fisheye effect, and that's something that you need to avoid when you're flying field. So if you see the example on the left, the post is bent, the street's bent, and that's not normal. So when you go to stitch a picture together, it's very difficult because it's bent. And I've tried to do that before. The program doesn't like it, the computer doesn't like it, and the overall image looks really confusing. So, and the one on the right, I'm standing in the same spot, and it is straight, and that is something that you'll be able to stitch with. So one of my mistakes on the top is, I actually flew with the fisheye effect and the wide-angle lens, in which it wasn't very good. So then I had to do it again, so that causes double work. So I learned from that. I will never, ever fly with that mode ever again. And if you ever fly, don't do that either, because you'll waste time. Another tip is, I have a little video right here, is the neutral density filter. That's basically like sunglasses for your camera, okay? And if this video is not very smooth, it's also wide-angle lens. You can see the bent of the earth. But if you look at the video closely, there's something called the Jell-O effect, which it looks like Jell-O movement, which isn't very desirable when you're trying to take pictures or you're trying to take video. So one of the things that we use, as I showed you earlier, is the gimbal, which stabilizes it, which helps against the Jell-O effect. But also, if you use a neutral density filter, or if you can't afford a gimbal or a high-quality one, a neutral density filter will also help. And that's just something that you put on top of your camera. Number 5, fly autonomously. This helps you to have comparable pictures and reproducible flights. You'll be able to fly a rectangle field one day and then fly the exact same flight the next day. You have a lot of control. It's easier than flying manually. You set the points. These are called wave points, and you set them, and you tell your Phantom where to go. It tells you a lot of information. It's really good because even at the bottom, it says estimated flight time, 7 minutes. That's useful because you know that you have more than 7 minutes of battery on your copter. So when you're flying, that's a lot of things that you're thinking about is my copter going to fall out of the sky because I'm not watching the battery. So the flying autonomously is very useful. And this is a DJI ground station app. So when you're flying autonomously with this app, you can also set the speed. Okay, you can set the speed and the height. You want to make sure that the height is the same. Otherwise, you'll get varying different details in your picture, and it'll be very difficult to come back to the office and to stitch together. So the speed, you don't want to fly too fast or too slow. I usually fly at 5 miles per hour. That works pretty good for me. But depending on your need and what's going on, you'll need to do it differently. So if you do too fast, you won't get enough pictures of the field. You need at least 50% overlap to be able to stitch it. But if you do too slow, then you have an immense amount of pictures, and it won't be as efficient as it could be when you're flying. And the next thing, this is important, a UAV alarm system. Can you see my copter in this picture? No, you can't. And it's very frustrating. When we were first flying, we were flying a cotton field, and we didn't have a UAV alarm system, and we were still figuring out like the flight times and all those things, and it would slowly descend into a big like acreage, and it was like, where did it go? We don't know. So it was very difficult. And what I use now is actually like, you know those things where you find your key, and it like comes with an app and you can set it off. It's useful, but they actually have made specific things for your UAVs, not just like a key finder. So it's very useful because that thing's expensive. Okay, another thing is the GoPro has its own Wi-Fi capabilities, which is nice if you're just using the GoPro and you want to be able to see the images on your phone or your iPad. But you do not want to fly with the Wi-Fi on, because it can actually cancel out the connection to your radio, and you can have a flyaway, which is a nightmare. Because again, a lot of expensive equipment, and then you don't know where it went. So that's a really good thing. I've never experienced this, thank God. But I did a lot of research, and that was the first thing. When the first thing I learned, I'm like, I am never doing that. But that's happened to a lot of people. Number 9, charge all your batteries. Super important to make sure that you're prepared, because you're not just walking outside of your office and you can grab whatever you need, but you're going to a field where it's in the middle of nowhere. It might take you 10, 20 minutes to get there, and then you're 10, 20 minutes back. So make sure that you have all your equipment charged, your battery for your camera charged, and you have multiple batteries for your Phantom. Super important. And the last tip is you need a large enough SD card. So your SD card, the GoPro uses a micro SD card, which is a small thing right here. And it's important to have a large enough one, because the last thing you want is to go to the field, have an excellent flight. You think that everything went super smooth, and then when you take your SD card back to your computer, half of your pictures are missing. Where's the rest of my field? I don't know. And it might be because you didn't have enough space on your SD card. I fly with a really large SD card. You probably don't need like a 64 gigabytes, but it's fun. And I like to do other things like video as well. But I think 8 gigs is probably good, especially if you're doing pictures. So those are my top 10 tips that I have for you guys, so to avoid all those things, so you can have a good program using UAVs. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
The narrow field view, is that available on GoPro 3 and
The question is the narrow field of view available on GoPro 3 and 4? The answer is yes. It's available on the GoPro 3, 3 Plus, and the 4. The gimbal came, we bought it from DJI. So it came from DJI. Yes, sir? The question is if we ran into problems with FAA. We have not ran into problems with FAA. Our operations are small, and we always have follow the regulations that they give, like 400 feet, you know, ceiling, not close to an airport, things like that, not over crowds, and we have permission from the growers to fly the field because they want that information. Yes, sir. Yeah, there's nothing set in stone yet for the permits or laws or regulations. They're hoping to have something out by next year, but we're looking into getting some certification as well. A UAV cost, a small one without all the gimbals and the camera would be roughly $600 to $700. They might have gone down in price now because they've there's multiple different versions. So this one was a Phantom 2. They have Phantom 3 and a Phantom 3 Advanced. So, but with the gimbals like $700 and the cameras like $400. So, in the back.
Do you have to stitch the pictures together manually, or
that is a good question. I have had to stitch manually before, just because we're learning and trial and error type of things. But there are some software that you can do it. I've used Photoshop to do it before, and we've used different programs. Some are free, some cost money. But yeah, there are some programs out there. There's a lot of them. One that we use that's usually successful is called Microsoft ICE, and that one's free, and it's pretty simple to use as well. Does anyone else have any other questions? Okay, thank you so much for your time.